Thank you, Chris. Of course, there's always options, you know, for more questions after the panel, so. Put that back, so. And as Eric has totally gotten us ready for, our next speaker, Kurt Kyle. Kurt is an industry principal for the Media Industry and Solutions Group at SAP Americas, the world's leading provider of business software solutions. Kurt has more than 25 years' experience in the media sector and works across entertainment, publishing, and advertising. He is responsible for developing solutions and customer relationships specific to media for SAP. He has worked on customer initiatives in audience analytics, metadata management, rights and royalties, digital supply chain, educational publishing, electronic sell-through, and advertising analytics. Please warmly welcome Kurt Kyle to Cloud Computing West.
So you'll have to stay with me. I'm kind of a walk around the stage kind of guy, but we're recording, so I've got to be behind the microphone, so I'll try to stay put. As you can tell from the introduction, I'm much more of a use case kind of a guy. I work with customers every day, typically around specific problems and the process of getting to problems. At SAP, we use a lot of things like design thinking as techniques to work with our customers to kind of define business problems and define business objectives and define what the future is in terms of what do we need to do in order to support the business. So a couple of bona fide kind of slides. SAP is the standard platform for 6 out of the major 7 entertainment companies. By that we really mean we're doing something major there. In most cases we do the ERP and financials. In most cases we also do the analytics, or we do some of the analytics. Any major entertainment company, any major studio will have a blend of solutions, a blend of vendors. We're just happy to be included and be one of the group. And if you look at the presence of SAP, if we track major motion pictures, major broadcast, we're at about 62% of being in the supply chain for the world's movies and about 74% of radio and TV programs. SAP's cloud stats, one stat that's not on there is SAP's spent on the order of $8 billion in the last 3 years working on our cloud estate. So we have not only built solutions of our own, including going down to the hardware layer and specifying new hardware, new database technology, but also acquiring companies like Ariba, Salesforce. And have you folks heard of Hybris? It's an e-commerce platform company. No? They're, again, part of our family now. So we've built out a bunch of technology, but also grown and acquired it. Built out major data centers and started to operate enterprise clouds for our customers, and all the way down to and including some third-party applications are hosted by us. What I really want to talk about is what's happening in the world today and how it affects us in entertainment. If you take a look at the statistics that are developing, particularly around emerging economies, we see an additional five billion people added to the middle class in the next 5 years. That means emerging middle classes in China, in Brazil, strengthening of the middle class in Russia. So a real contribution to the way that the world consumes and the way the world interacts. We'll see another 1 billion people added to social networks, people who are engaging in conversations. I mean, honestly, today, if you're a manufacturer making a thing, if you're a service company doing something, people are going to interact with you by first looking at that product that they're desiring and understanding if it's what they want. They'll look at your competitors. If you're not out there in conversation with people, if you don't give them a place to land, what's going to collect is negative feedback about your performance. You really have to be out there telling people what you do, why it's exciting, and why they should take notice. There'll be another 15 billion web-enabled devices. But think about the Internet of Things. Think about the insulin pump on somebody's waist that can report their drug usage. right? That a doctor could see that you were suddenly using a lot of insulin, or worse yet, not using any, and dispatch either a counselor to help you understand how you should be using your device, or maybe send an ambulance because you might be in a coma, right? But also think about the Nest thermometers that'll help run your house. And of course, think about the ubiquitous computing that people will have with them at all times. I mean, most of us have gone through the one device up to the three devices, right? The phone, the pad, and the laptop. And now we're trying to slim back down to maybe two, hopefully. What this also means as the data available, the data coming from each one of us is doubling every 18 months. So take, for example, most of my studio entertainment and television entertainment clients are now doing things like applications to watch television from the cloud on a portable device. Okay? Clients now are getting somewhere between half a terabyte and a full terabyte per month of just logs coming through that streaming activity. Logs that have to be analyzed. We have to understand who's watching, what ads we're delivering, when are people abandoning a stream, when are they completing a stream. So all that information adds up, all that information that comes from devices. Any of you do personal monitoring? Like, I wear a Fitbit, have you seen one of these? Right, okay, fuel bands, whatever. Right, we're all capturing data on ourselves. I found out through my Fitbit that I was sleeping about 5 hours a night. I've got a 5-year-old son, I've got a very active wife, but I needed to address my sleep pattern in order to be more healthy. So all this information is collecting. All this information is gathering. Have you heard the famous case of Target basically sending coupons for prenatal care to a young lady who was underage and her father becoming very upset? You know, the signal in that case was unscented hand lotion. Turns out that women don't often buy hand lotion without a scent or without a color unless they're pregnant. In which case, right, if you're sensitive to fragrances and colors, you typically would buy that, but the majority is actually used by people who are pregnant. So the young lady involved was not erroneously receiving coupons. She was there because she had that major signal, right? So today we are signal hunting. We are hunting for people's purchasing behaviors, for their behaviors in, say, a tech support mode. Right, if somebody is repeatedly hitting tech support and is not satisfied, you're at danger of losing that customer. So in big data terms, this data is doubling every 18 months and we have to address it. It's no longer an option. And finally, we're seeing now more mobile devices than people. This is primarily driven in places like Asia, where it's very common to have a work device and a personal device. So for those of us who are struggling with three devices trying to get to two, most of the world is going from three devices to four, and possibly more. So you get this idea that there's a crushing amount of big data. But the other side of big data is that we need to process it faster and make it available for more business processes. And honestly, we have to do that in the cloud. We at this point do not have time, if I'm going to do real-time marketing to you, to take it from a big data source and move it between cloud sources. So the intercloud is the term that I've most commonly heard, is giving way to meta applications that are sitting on top of different cloud sources. And cloud integration is typically driving us. So to bring it very much down to the entertainment business and to the media business, the world is changing for us really quickly. With that ubiquitous access, with ubiquitous information, our audience is changing. You know, it was common in our world that we could do a broadcast ad or we could do a banner ad on a web page and we would get a fairly respectable payment for that. Today, most advertising is moving to being targeted. As a matter of fact, I think NBC Universal was the first to announce, we're going to sell audience. We're not going to just sell impressions. We're going to sell access to groups of people and we will give you those people on whatever platform, be it exhibition or broadcast or VOD, right? But today, because people's tastes have changed, we have to target those people. A common example would be men 18 to 35 who make, say, more than $40,000 a year. That kind of person can walk into a retail store, spend $100, and that would just be a normal daily occurrence. That's not going to challenge their rent money or their ability to pay their bills. Take a woman, say 18 to 35, who has an income above, say, $40,000, or maybe has a couple of kids. That, again, is going to be somebody who has a certain amount of discretionary authority over spend, right? Those are the people that we want to talk to. Those are the people that we want to make content for. Those are the people that, when they interact with the web and social media and broadcast TV and exhibition, that we have to make a compelling product for them. I mentioned the platforms. We are now having to accommodate the platforms and understand them. Now, there was some discussion yesterday about when you create a streaming file and you're in a variable connectivity situation, you might have to have 5 different bit rates encoded. Absolutely. If you talk to somebody from Netflix, you'll find out that their encoding profile for a new asset can be 20, 30, 40 different formats and bit rates. So the platform world is definitely influencing everything we do, but also how we make money from people, whether it be subscription basis or advertising, changes by platform. Advertisers, as I said, are demanding more targeted solutions and retargeted solutions. Are you guys familiar with retargeting? Okay, I'll do a brief explanation. Here's one for sorry. If you go to Amazon and you look at a pair of really great red Manolo shoes, a targeting service, I know, not your thing, but I'll try. Okay, so what Amazon will do is they work with a targeting service, and they'll put an anonymous cookie on your machine that just has the model number of those shoes. So you decide, $200, way too expensive, not my budget. And so you go to Google News to read a news article. What ad do you see along the page? You see those same Manolo shoes. Because simply that same service read the model number out of the cookie and put the ad up, right? So increasingly we're being asked to target people, understand their demographics or their psychographics, right? Psychographics is behavior. If you're a skier, if you're somebody who's athletic, we want to give you skiing ads. We don't want to give you baby food ads, right? And we want to retarget. We want to know what you looked for, what you might be liable to buy, and show it to you again. And increasingly, we're being pushed into dynamic retargeting. That means rather than understand what somebody watched on their iPad last week, we want to know what they're watching now so that when the next commercial pod comes up, we can give them the appropriate ad. So that moves from near real time to real time, right? Understanding what people are doing in the stream. For the technologists in the crowd, that means that instead of doing Hadoop and summarization in a data warehouse, it means you have to do discovery on top of Hadoop data, right? And you have to build things like dynamic segmentation tools. Okay? Finally, the economics that we get into mean that as we are looking at these bigger and bigger pictures, we have to look at ways to make money. If you look at the streaming model, right, and you contrast it to the rental model and the DVD model, in the old DVD models, and I'll just use some general numbers, not trying to be too exact, but we might have made as much as $9 or $10 off a DVD sale back in the heyday of DVD, back or in the Blu-ray days. In rental, we might have made a dollar or two off of a $5 rental. How much money do you think we make out of an $8 a month payment for a streaming subscription service per title?
2 cents.
Yeah, we're talking pennies. We might be talking dimes at best. So those economics are changing. We have to change. So one of the proposals is that we start looking at things like social media. And this comes directly from customer interactions. If you look at a major entertainment product, like a tentpole movie, so let's say a Batman or a Harry Potter or a Hunger Games or, I can't use Lone Ranger, but if you look at a tentpole product, take a look at how many people will actually sign up for a Facebook page or some other social media. It's on the order of 50 million people. Now, with an advertising and a publishing background, that to me is pretty special because that's a very large group of people. Right? If I look at the advertising that I can get from those people, there's a ton of ways to measure advertising. The most common is probably called CPMs or impressions. So if I showed that ad to 1,000 qualified people, I get a payment, right? If I put an ad in the newspaper and I show your ad to 1,000 people, probably get about $3.50. If I show that ad to somebody who's targeted, an 18 to 35 male, an 18 to 35 female, that payment can rise up to, say, $35. So 10x increment. That's pretty good. Okay. So I have 50 million people. I can make $35 per 1,000 people who see that ad. And if I do something like social media, and I post, say I post that Ben Affleck is the new Batman, okay? How many people are actually gonna come look at that page, try to understand the story, understand the rationale, maybe see him in the Batman costume, whatever, right? Let's say I have a 30% or 33% response rate. One third of the people actually look at that page. That results in $580,000 worth of payment for advertising, which is a pretty respectable amount of money. Now, if I take, say, the theory of Discovery Channel and I'm gonna do Shark Week, so I'm going to post 4 or 5 times a day, I think at their peak they will post up to 20 times a day, my response rates are gonna go down. It might look something like email campaigns and be at about 5%. That's still $80,000 per event. So it's a really respectable new revenue stream. And remember, we're really writing on content that was already built for the production, right? We're just organizing it and bringing it to social media. So the results to targeted groups become a respectable new information stream. I understand their behavior. I understand what they're reacting to. It can influence my product. It can influence my ad spend. But it also is a significant source of new revenue. But what it is it's not social or big data or cloud. It's social and big data and cloud, because they all have to work together. You have to be able to capture that information in the stream, react to it on the stream, right, and deliver it. But what it really means, the essential heart of the change to the entertainment business, is it means that we have traditionally been a B2B industry. We handed our product off to exhibition, they interacted with the customers and they showed it. We handed it off to retail, to Target, Walmart, and Best Buy, they sold it to the customer. We gave it to Apple and to Amazon and to others and they streamed it. But that was a one-time transaction. It was a transactional relationship. Now what we're talking about is a continuing relationship. If I start talking to somebody about Batman, about when the product gets greenlit, I have 18 months of advertising and communication and interaction that results in an income stream and really a closer product affinity. Right? If you've been following a product for 18 months, you're most likely going to go see that. You're probably also going to buy it. So it's an unique, very interesting inflection point in an industry, but it's one that we all have to deal with. And frankly, almost every one of the major studios that I deal with has a big data slash social project going today. So just a little bit of relevance. You guys may know SAP. There's a what we think is a 10-year-old perspective, a 5-year-old perspective, a 2-year-old perspective. 10 years ago, we were really an ERP company and help people do their financials. Maybe did a credible job with their customer relationship software and their procurement software. About 5 years ago, we bought Business Objects and became a major player in analytics. About 2 years ago, we started to really invest in and develop a database and technology basis for our business. It just became something that we had to do. And one of the key things we did was we built a platform based on open technology where you could take advantage of memory chips and SSD and just move all the computing up into memory. So if you're going to do disk access, it was from SSD, but you could keep almost, well, terabytes of information in memory in a computer. So that actually allows us to look at a stream of people interacting with a website and do that dynamic segmentation to actually react in the midstream. We bought the Sybase company, who has wonderful mobile operations as well as database operations. Folks who have been doing things like program trading on Wall Street, right? Catching events in the stock market in real time and doing trades on them. Using that same type of technology, we can work on transactions that are coming from the web. We also built ourselves, so we built Mobility, which is in use by three of the major studios. We bought ourselves and built ourselves cloud. We do database and technology. And then, of course, we have our analytics and our apps business. So that's really the reality of SAP today. And we've added a few interesting pieces in the meantime. We've added things like Hybris for the e-commerce cloud capability. So if you look at folks like Thomson Reuters, who sells into the legal and professional and healthcare and scientific markets, they use Hybris technology for all of that selling. And we do really firmly believe that the major entertainment companies will progress down a direct-to-consumer relationship path over the next 5 to 10 years. We've also invested in specific cloud operations, everything from HCM, human capital management in the cloud, through this Hybris e-commerce, also doing things like travel on demand, et cetera. So we've basically taken every piece of the SAP suite and made it run in the cloud and in memory so that it can be accelerated while keeping the ability to run all of our technology in traditional ways. And then we also offer a platform as a service as well, so that customers who are developing different applications on top of our technology can continue to do that in novel ways. One of the most common for me would be the way that we track transversal when somebody uses a website. We want to know what their behavior is. We'll do things like Omniture analysis. So Adobe's Omniture files will do customized analysis. And we'll do things like double-click analysis for web and web tagging. Those are just very common ways that people will use the in-memory technology. So that's it. Do I have some questions or any ideas, or am I at time and we need to give the panel up here?
Well, see, we can get the, we, given that the panel goes, and you're right on it, is there one quick question? No, the panel wants to begin.
All right.
So what I'm going to have is, I'm going to have Kurt stay up here and be joined by Mark and Grant returning. Mark and Grant returning.